First reading for today is from Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 20. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand. Stand firm, then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. Pray also for me, that whenever I open my mouth, words may be given me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should. This is the word of the Lord.
We are glad to be here in the Word of God today. And we're told to be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. And that's something that is familiar for us as a people. We want to be strong. Matter of fact, we not only want to be strong, we want to be independent. We want to do things. Say, we have accomplished this. Look at what I have done. And be proud of this thing that I have done. And I did it by myself, or I accomplished this, and I need the praise, or I need the recognition. There's kind of that independence. We even have our own Independence Day in the United States, right? To say, you know, look at what we have done. And what we fail to do sometimes in the look what I've done, and woo-hoo, praise me, is to remember what it took to get to that. Actually, I didn't accomplish it on my own, even if I think I did, because there were people behind me helping me. I was educated by someone to be able to accomplish this. I learned these skills, these trades, these methods, these ideas, all these things. It took years to get to where you are to be able to accomplish what you accomplish. And so when we say, look what I have done by myself, it's not quite like that. Yes, you may have, in a sense, in the modern, accomplished it yourself, but there's more to that. And we don't always think about it that way. We think on our own scale what we are able to do, what we do. I remember the story of a small boy that was putting together this project, and it kept falling apart. And he got so frustrated. I mean, he was getting mad at this, and his father came over and said, what's going on? He said, well, I have put this together, and it fell apart. It just will not work. And his dad said, have you tried everything you can do? And the boy said, I have tried everything. I put it together, it fell apart. I put it together, it fell apart again. Are you sure you've tried everything you can do? And he said, I read the instructions. I looked through it all. It will not work. I have tried everything. And his father said, well, you haven't tried everything because you haven't asked for my help yet. And in life, many times while we're going at it and doing what we do, we fail to look back and remember the one that we need to be calling upon in every situation, the one who is with us in every situation, and recognizing that God is there to bless us in every situation. God is on our side and He's there, but we fail to ask for the help at times or to even give Him the recognition of His presence. We face daily struggles, physical, spiritual struggles. We are tested by the devil's schemes. Those things come upon us as his people, and they do not stop. The devil is good at what he does, and he's not going to stop with the flaming arrows that he sends at us continually. So, what we can do then for protection is what our text tells us. We put on this full armor of God. I used this illustration once many, many years ago, and so a few of you may remember, but I thought this is something good to bring up again after 10 plus years. This idea and understanding of this armor of God, how it is there for us to bless us. And once we have this armor of God on, we have the things it talks about, truth and righteousness and readiness for the gospel of peace and faith and then we receive also this call to follow and to stay in the Word of God, we are equipped to deal with the schemes and the trials and the temptations and the ways of the devil and the ways of the world that seek to assault us. We have this full armor of God illustration that Paul brings to us from his unique perspective, because he likely got this illustration from the soldier that he might have even been chained to, or was in the room with him where he was chained when he was a prisoner. He sees a soldier and he can consider the aspects of his armor, how they are like God's protection for us. And so he breaks it down for us as Christians to understand that while as a soldier may have a battle of flesh and blood, we have a spiritual battle that we face, and we need an armor that protects us in a like fashion, so that when the evil day comes, as the passage talks about, we can stand where we are and stand in our faith. And so to modernize this in a sense, because a suit of armor is not something that we have so much that we need as an illustration today, I thought we need to go with the Texas version of this. And what would that look like? And first of all, we're told to put on the belt of truth. So in Texas, what would a belt of truth look like? And I thought about just my old Western belts and one of these nice big belt buckles that we have. Now, this is nowhere near the size of some of the belt buckles that are out there. You get those rodeo belt buckles, and they're like this giant force field. I mean, you can't bend over with them on because they'll cut off the circulation of blood to your stomach and your legs. Monster belt buckles. This one says, "The state of Texas I wear as a proud adopted into Texan." Well, I used to wear it. The belt of truth, apparently it reveals the truth that I'm still growing in my ministry. Let's see if this will go. Oh, okay. I am truly girded by truth now. It's like Wonder Woman's lasso. You can speak no evil now. This is probably along the lines of what would have been needed for that protection, though. The truth, it surrounds us. It holds everything together. It does protect us. We're surrounded by God's truth in like fashion. And probably along the same lines, not in the same style, but in almost a similar look, would have been the tunic that a soldier would have had on underneath their armor. And so to gird things up, when they're out there, instead of having those free-flowing robes that can get in the way and get caught and get you in trouble, they would wear a big belt, tuck it all in. The belt of truth. God comes to us and tells us that even though this may restrict some movements of some things, it gives us a strength. I think like a weightlifter's belt even would be a good example, because you can do so much more with that weightlifting belt on that you can't do without it. It's not just a matter of protection. It actually gives you some extra strength because it gives you that support that you wouldn't have had alone. Without the truthfulness of God, what do we have? Without the truth of God on our side, our entire lives would be, well, they'd be worth nothing because everything would be a lie. Even the devil's own name, the root word that comes behind the devil's name is the word deceiver. He is a deceiver. He's a liar. And certainly we don't want to be that as children of God. We want to be children of the truth, children of faith. After that, we're told to put on the breastplate of righteousness. Now, the breastplate would have been one of those pieces of metal, not only on the front, but also went around the back, would have strapped together. Would have protected the heart, because as long as the heart survives, there's a chance. If the heart goes, the rest of the body is going to go too. And we need this breastplate of righteousness. Paul speaks of righteousness as that which begins with Christ's sacrifice. There's that righteousness that we rely on that comes not from us but from God. The righteousness of Christ, the righteousness of God that we wear, and it covers us and protects us. Now, in Texas, what could that be? Well, it could be a couple of things, I thought. One would be a hunting vest, like I used to wear, or one might be like this, my biker's jacket. This is actually leather armor. It is padded leather in many places that protect me, both in the back and in the front. Thick areas of padding that, I'll tell you what, if you've ever seen someone go through a motorcycle accident and get up and walk away, their chances were better if they had something like this on than if they just had skin and pavement. And yeah, Bill knows that. Bill's been through that. I've been through that. Some others have been through that. It's a protection. We are safe now in that protection, or at least a lot safer than we were before, because before that, yeah, pavement and skin don't get along too well. God wants us to protect our hearts. God wants us to protect the faith that He's given us. And if we don't have His righteousness surrounding us, there is no righteousness within us. Next would be the feet fitted for the readiness of the gospel of peace. And the shoes that the soldier would have worn would have been a leather-like sole shoe that had studs on it at the bottom, like modern-day cleats. Not quite as digging in, very small ones in that sense, but would have enabled them to stand their ground so that whether rocky terrain or sand, they were able to hold their feet in place better and fight, to be ready with this gospel that's coming out, to stand firm no matter what's coming against us, not to give way. And I thought, in Texas, what would that be? Well, that was easy. It's boots. I mean, the idea of digging in your heels, that's where it comes from with these boots, right? You got those heels. And anybody who wears them knows that, truly, if you've had to ever dig in your heels when you were working on something, it held your ground. And without it, you wouldn't have been able to do it. We need to dig in. We need to dig in when it comes to our faith. And it is a gospel of peace. This is not an offensive weapon. This is a defensive thing. We're not going to meet someone halfway on these ideas of God. We're not going to meet them and come to some agreement in between where they are and we are with regards to what does the Word of God say. No, we have to stand our ground. And the world may see it as an attack, but we're seeing it as a defense. We're holding our ground on what does God tell us is true. And God is a God of love and a God of peace. And if we don't dig our heels in and hold to that and teach others that, then we're going to be as lost as they are. And then there's that shield of faith. The shield of a Roman soldier would have been about a 2.5 foot wide by about a 4 foot tall door. Inch and a half thick, probably. That's what it was like. They could put these together and they could make an impenetrable wall that nothing could get through. They could hold these things up, and you may have seen things like this in the movie. And these were an impenetrable roof, even. The arrows could not get through. They were too thick, too big. They created this, and this is what faith is like for us. But the unique thing about this faith in particular, the previous items, the boots, the jacket, the belt, the truth we have, the righteousness we have, the gospel that we have, these were all laid out for us to pick up. It says, take up this item, take up this shield. And really in the Greek it's a word that's not so much take up, but a receiving of this, as an armor bearer might come up and hand it to you, and now you can have it. Up until then, the other items were laid out, you just pick them up on your own. This one you have to be given, and that's the way faith is for us. We have to be given that faith by God, and He does give us that faith, and that faith is something that does protect us. And it does say where we stand and what we stand on. And the enemy cannot penetrate it. And what's that going to be for us in Texas? Well, I remember an old ad campaign we had, "Don't mess with Texas." You don't see it as much anymore, but it's still around in some places. "Don't mess with Texas." I mean, we didn't want litter, is what it was all about. In our great land. I mean, we want to stand our ground. We want this place to be beautiful as it always has been and stay just as beautiful and pristine. And we don't appreciate folks who don't appreciate that. So don't throw out your cigarette butts. Don't leave your diapers at Walmart in the shopping cart. Yeah. Don't leave the McDonald's trash sitting in the driveway or drop it out at the stoplight. You know, cigarette wrappers belong in the trash, not out the window. It's real simple. Don't mess with Texas. We stand firm on that. Don't mess with it. That's the way it is with our faith, isn't it, too? We stand firm on it. Don't mess with it. We're going to stand behind it and stand up for it. And those burning arrows don't stand a chance. Galvanized. We're protected. The helmet of salvation then covered the both down the neck, over the bridge of the nose, and down the cheeks of the soldier, protected their head. The helmet of salvation, they were covered in salvation, came over them to protect them. God gives us His salvation to wear, not as a symbol of power and might, but as a means of protection, intending the wearer to be safe from all other things and to know that you have this salvation. We have salvation. It's given to us to put on and to hold on to. And no one or nothing can take it away from us. God has given us His salvation. And no matter what, we know we are protected as long as we wear that salvation of Christ. And I guess I could have gone with a motorcycle helmet, or those are a little too hot. Bicycle helmet, I look really silly in a bicycle helmet. Or something else that really has a dual purpose, if you will. We're protected. I mean, think of all those helmets out there on Sunday mornings. I mean, the rest of the afternoon, some of you are going to watch TV to see people in helmets. I have no idea what these faces look like, but you know what the helmets are out there, and those helmets are hitting and crunching and smashing, and the people are relatively safe because these are $10,000 plus helmets that they're putting on nowadays. High-tech stuff to protect them, and they need them. And that's what the soldier would have needed, and that's what we need. We need that level of protection that is so good that there's nothing that needed to be added to it. It covers us and keeps us safe. And then there's the last item. The last item is the most unique of all because it's not a defensive item. It actually is an offensive item. It comes to us and we're called to take up the sword of the Spirit. And whether it was 2,000 years ago or whether it's today in Texas, well, with the sword, there's not going to be any substitute. There can't be. It's God's Word. And the Word of God continues to be that weapon that we yield to cut through the malarkey and the lies and the deceptions of the world, and to use, to be able to get out there and to say, this is where we stand, and this has the divine authority and judgment of God in it, and the forgiveness and the love of God in it. His sayings, His truths, His story, our hope. And while we're standing here completely ready to go, let me tell you, do you think anybody's going to mess with me if I look like this? Uh-oh. I mean, seriously. I go out in the town and I look like this. Is anybody going to mess with me? Yeah, they're going to stay away from me, you betcha.
I'll make sure
that forgiveness. Yeah. You only get one chance. We know that God is there for us. But even with all of that on, there's still one last thing. Oh, that feels good. Take a breath. There's still one last thing that we need to do, and that's to pray. Pray for ourselves going into battle and to pray for others. I mean, we're never sure when the battle's going to come. It could be today that we face some great spiritual battle. We don't know. It might be a long time from now before we face some great spiritual struggle. But we need to be ready all the time. So we need to be fully dressed, fully equipped in this armor of God, fully prepared by our faith and hope in Christ and His forgiveness, His sacrifice, His death, His resurrection, our hope, our life, our eternity, every day. And the only way to finish this off is going to be through prayer. I need to pray for you because you're dealing with struggles. you need to pray for me because I'm dealing with struggles. The soldier out on the field may have his AR-15. He's got his revolver or service weapon. He's got his protective helmet on and some body armor on. He's ready to go, but he needs to know that what he's doing is backed up by others, is supported by others, and has a purpose. And as we fight, we know that, make sure I didn't still have the helmet on. We need that prayer and that support. And the soldiers need to know that they're fighting for the hopes and the lives of people behind them, and that they have the support and the prayers of loved ones when they go out there. It's that extra oomph we need when we're in battle. And what we need to do is not just pray for each other and have others pray for us, but then just in speaking to God, remember God's presence is there for us. At all times and all occasions, we come to God. In our thanksgiving as well as our persecutions, we come to God. And we continue to pray for ourselves and for all the saints, knowing that God is there for us. Prayer is to come from inside of us like a cry. And in this case, maybe like a battle cry. We need God, because even with all the rest of this protection, if we're not in communication with God Himself, it's going through the motions. God is on our side, though, and He is always with us. So clothed in the armor of the Lord, we can find that peace that passes all understanding. We can find that hope of salvation that leads us to eternity. And we can know that Jesus Christ is with us, within us, surrounding us, and blessing us every single day. Put on the full armor of God. His truth, His righteousness, His salvation, His gospel. Take up His sword, take up His word, and you'll be ready to go into the world. You'll not only face today, but you can face every day with God standing there right beside you. In Jesus' name, amen. And may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts, your minds, and your lives always in Christ Jesus, our Savior, our Lord, and our God. Amen.